Children who would like to go downstairs would follow Miss Rachel down. Feel free to join her downstairs. Okay. So those who would like to go to children's church, go ahead and follow the ladies down if you would. Well, how many of you have enjoyed the cooler weather? Yeah, we were at the town barbecue last night at the museum. I think many of us were in long sleeve shirts and sweaters. I know, August 10th, miracles happen. So it was wonderful. So Friday was cool, yesterday, today is cool. It'll be 94 on Tuesday or Wednesday. So, you know, enjoy it while we have it. So it's been very, very nice. This morning, we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. 2 Kings chapter 11. You know, it's interesting when I remember reading books when I was a kid, and they were all kind of swashbuckling type books. You know, sword fights and intrigue and kings getting ousted and being hidden and coming back and all this stuff, okay? All these great stories, okay? And so it's one of those things that makes for a good story is something surprising happens or something evil happens. You have to see how the hero comes back, okay? How it's all resolved, and it's that process that makes the book good. Okay. And sometimes I wonder, where did the authors get their ideas from? Okay, how'd they come up with this? Well, as we look in 2 Kings 11, I think they got it from here, or at least some of their ideas, because, really, what we're going to look at this morning is an act of treason, okay, from Scripture itself. So I hope you find this interesting. It's a story we don't read that often. The story of Joash or Jehoash. He goes by both names, actually. So let's start. So 2 Kings chapter 11. Now, when Athaliah, there's some big names here. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, was killed by the king of Israel, she arose and destroyed all the royal family. But Jehosheba, sister of Azariah, so daughter of Athaliah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons where that were being put to death. And she put him and his nurse in a bedroom. Thus they hid him from Athaliah so that he was not put to death. And he remained with her 6 years, hidden in the house of the Lord, while Athaliah reigned over the land. Okay, so let me explain all these big names. Athaliah is the queen mother. Okay, it's her son that was ruling. Okay, his name is Ahaziah. Okay, now Ahaziah was killed. Okay, and Jehosheba is his sister. Okay, so the queen's daughter. And the queen, when she saw that her son was dead, she's like, okay, I'm not going to give it to my grandson. I want the throne. And so she seizes the throne. Now, what do you do when you seize the throne? You get rid of all of your enemies or all the people that could rival you for the throne, which means she has to kill all the heirs. Okay. So this is the grandmother who kills all of her grandchildren. A very, very evil lady here. Okay, because her grandchildren would be the rightful heirs to the throne. And she goes, nope, I'm going to be king. I'm going to be the ruler, so I'm going to kill everybody else. Okay? This is not your lovey-dovey grandmother. Okay? This is the grandma who is evil upon evil. Okay? So she kills all the grandkids, all the relatives, anybody that could be a threat to her. But her daughter saves the youngest one. Okay? It's under a year old. Okay, her name is Jehosheba. She takes Joash and steals him away, somehow gets him away, and hides Joash and his nurse in a back bedroom somewhere in the palace. Okay? And so we see that when she does this, Athaliah, the queen mother, doesn't know, has no idea that Joash has been hidden. Okay? And they go to the temple, and they hide in the temple for 6 years, and we'll get to that in a little bit, while Athaliah reigned the land. So the queen mother is ruling now, thinking all of her relatives, all of her children and grandchildren are dead, and she is has unrivaled access to the throne, okay, unrivaled power. Okay? So that's kind of what's going on here. Now, let me give you a little context on Athaliah, on the queen mother. Okay, this very evil lady. She was the granddaughter of Omri, who was king of Israel. And this is what is said of her grandpa. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did more evil than all who were before him. That's a great legacy, right? Ugh. Okay. Well, we don't know Omri, but we know her father. Her father's King Ahab, who was married to who? Jezebel, yes. Okay? This is what God says of Ahab. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Okay? So grandpa was bad, dad was even worse. And then she passes this legacy on to her son. This is what Scripture says of Ahaziah. He also walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. What is the pattern here? Bad and getting worse. Okay? This is terrible. Okay? Leading the people away, doing evil in the Lord's sight. Okay? This is what she grew up with. This is what she saw, and this is what she's passing on to her son and to the family. Okay? Now, Athaliah's son, King Ahaziah, is killed by King Jehu of Israel. And Elijah actually orders, through the Lord, orders his death. And so, when he dies, then we get all this intrigue that happens, okay, with Joash and hiding him and all of that. These are really dark times in Israel, okay? This is a divided kingdom. Israel is in the north, Judah's in the south. Two different countries, and they're just falling away from the Lord, okay? There's very little good here. Okay? So, it's very interesting. You know, Baal worship is everywhere, but in the midst of all of this evil, we have to remember that God is still working. Okay, I think sometimes when things get so bad, we think that God has taken a hiatus or he's left. Okay? I remember being in Rwanda, and the main event in Rwanda was the genocide in 94. Okay? So in 100 days, 1 million people were killed, mostly by machete. Okay, it was a systematic killing of a certain tribe. So terrible, terrible, terrible. Rwandans will tell you that God goes around the earth each day, but he comes home to Rwanda at night. Okay? But in 1994, God forgot to come home. That's what they'll tell you. Okay? The sense is that during the genocide, God was not present, and evil reigned. Okay? Now, is that true? No. God is still present, God is still active, God was still working. But he allowed evil, and it was evil, to reign. Okay? But even in the midst of those dark times, God is still working. He was still working. He was saving people. He was refining the church. He was calling the church out because the church was complicit in a lot of these killings. He was purifying it. Okay? God still works in very dark times, and he is still working here. I mean, think of it. In the midst of all of this, a baby is saved. What motivated this daughter of the queen to save her nephew? Was it pity? Was it to give her son to save the nephew, to give an heir? Was it an act of God, an act of worship? We don't know. Okay, 2 Kings doesn't tell us. But God saved this child, and as we will see, this child makes a major difference in the country. Okay? So even in very dark times, God is still working. Okay? I find hope in that, great hope, that no matter how dark, how evil, violent, or hopelessly tolerant society becomes, God is still working. Okay? Just because evil is winning does not mean that God is silent. Okay? And so, even in a very dark and evil country, there are people who remain faithful to the Lord. Do you remember Elijah? Okay, after Mount Carmel, he gets all in despair because he thinks Jezebel is going to turn to the Lord, and instead she tries to assassinate him. And so he goes into the wilderness, and he wants to die. And God comes and has a conversation with him. And Elijah complains, "I am the only one left in all of Israel who is faithful to you." And God says, "No, you're not. There are 7,000 people in this country who have not bowed the knee to Baal." Now, 7,000 in a country is not a lot, but it's a lot more than one. Okay? Elijah thinks he's alone. He's not. Okay? There are 7,000 with him. In our present passage, there is a priest, and this priest is an amazing man. His name is Jehoiada. And he acts treasonously against the queen, but faithfully to the Lord. So let's look at this. So Joash is hiding in the temple for 6 years. So he's about seven at this time. It says, in the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and brought the captains of the Karaites, who are the special guard, okay, and of the guards, and had them come to him in the house of the Lord. And he made a covenant with them and put them under oath in the house of the Lord, and he showed them the king's son. Okay, so first time in 7 years. Okay. And the priest gave the captains the spears and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of the Lord. And the guards stood, every man with his weapon in his hand, from the south side of the house to the north side of the house, around the altar and the house on behalf of the king. So they surrounded the temple. Then he, Jehoiada, brought out the king's son and put the crown on him and gave him the testimony. And they proclaimed him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, "Long live the king." Okay. You know, we get the sense here that Jehoiada is the mastermind behind this whole thing. Okay? Behind Joash's escape and seclusion. And he brings them, the Jehoash and his nurse, into the temple, and for 6 years they are there hiding. Now, I want you to think about this for a little bit. This is Solomon's temple, so the building is quite large, the grounds are quite large. But for 6 years, this little guy is growing up. For those of you that have two-year-olds, or we found out three is the worst, three-year-olds, okay, how easy is it to keep them contained? Impossible, I heard, okay? It's just not, okay? Jehoash was 3 years old at one point in time. I'm sure he was running around, okay? And Jehoiada and the nurse have to go, come here. No, don't let him see you. Don't do that. No, don't do that. Can you imagine what it would be like to keep a kid in a temple for 6 years, okay? I'm sure he's hoping nobody sees him, that nobody recognizes a family resemblance, okay? But for 6 years, Jehoash is in the temple, okay? Now, I'm sure the queen never went to the temple, okay? She is a devout worshiper of Baal. She has no interest in the temple. She probably never came, okay? But others did, okay? And I just wonder if they were like, why is this child always here? Where's his parents? What's going on? You know, but if somebody said something, we don't know it because Scripture doesn't acknowledge it. We simply read in verse 3 that he remained with her, his nurse, 6 years, hidden in the house of the Lord while Athaliah reigned over the land. He just grew up there. So, what was Jehoiada doing for those 6 years? Okay. To get an idea, we have to go to the next chapter. Okay, chapter 2, verse 2. We read this. And this is a summary of his life. But Jehoash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all his days, because Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Jehoiada's goal was to change the king's spiritual direction. Isolated from his family, Jehoash was being trained in the law of God by a man who had dedicated his entire life to the Lord. What is Joash's family history? Athaliah's history. Is it faithfulness to the Lord? Oh no, Elliot, it's this, okay? Terrible, okay? His grandfather, his father, great-grandfather, father, grandpa, and father were all evil. Very, very evil men, okay? What Jehoiada did is, one, he saved his life, but two, he isolated him from it, cut him off from that, and said, let me train you in the way of the Lord. And so from probably the time he arrived, okay, he is singing songs, he is teaching him the law, he's helping him to understand who God is. Okay, this is like private tutoring for 6 years, okay, to help Jehoash come to love the Lord and to be faithful to him. That is what Jehoiada is doing. Okay? And so he's very busy in this time. Now, I want you to understand that what Jehoiada is doing is an act of treason. Okay? He has orchestrated the escape of the heir. Okay? He is keeping him. He is raising him. He is training him exactly opposite of what his grandmother would want. Okay? He is hiding the only real threat to her rule. Okay? And when he brought out the king's son in 11:12 and put a crown on him and gave him the testimony, and the people proclaimed him king and anointed him and proclaimed, long live the king, that is an act of treason against the queen. Okay? This is what this priest is doing. He's an incredibly brave man. Now, question arises. Was the act of treason sinful? It's illegal, but is it sinful? It's an interesting question. Okay? Think a couple of things. I don't think so. And here's why. First, Scripture always portrays Jehoiada in a positive light. Never condemns what he does. In fact, honors it. Okay? So, Scripture doesn't condemn his actions. Second, Athaliah was leading the people to worship Baal, leading them away from the Lord, the exact opposite of what God wants. Third, Jehoash is the rightful heir to the throne. Athaliah is the usurper. She's illegally, she's not next in line to the throne, okay? And so what Jehoash is actually doing is placing the correct person back on the throne. Okay? So I'm not going to get into this too deep because I'll probably dig myself in a hole I can't get out of. But it seems like in this passage, it is not seen as a sin, what he is doing, okay? But it is an act of treason. It is very illegal. Okay? So, what I love about Jehoiada, and this man just amazes me, is that even though the vast majority of the country is worshiping Baal, the queen is leading the effort, he gets no support for anybody, he remains faithful to the Lord. Okay? He takes this huge risk. He knew, as priest, that he could not affect the whole country. Okay? He is in the temple. He is trying to encourage and promote the worship of the Lord, but he can't change the country. Okay? This is four generations of evil. But what he could do was he could save the heir. He could train him in the way of the Lord and allow that heir to make a huge difference. Okay? But make no mistake, if the queen discovered what Jehoiada was doing, he'd be killed immediately, and so would Joash. Okay? So, let's get to the anointing. How old is Jehoash when he gets anointed king? He's young. He was under one when he was saved. He was in the temple for 6 years, so seven is what Scripture seems to say. Do we have any seven-year-olds here? Seven-year-olds? How many seven-year-olds are ready to be king? Okay. It's interesting, the youngest king in the Bible. Okay, 7 years old, he gets anointed king. Must have been a very weird experience for this seven-year-old. Okay? But he does. And he is the rightful heir and king. Okay? So they have this, Jehoiada does this ceremony, there's guards around, the people are there. He gives the guards the shields of David. Not that they weren't armed, but this is symbolic, okay, that Jehoash is in the line of David. And they have this ceremony. Who is not at the ceremony? The queen mother. Okay, Athaliah is not there. Okay? So, we see this in 13. When Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and the people, she went into the house of the Lord to the people. She went to investigate. She goes, what's the noise? What's going on? I want to see. And when she looked, there was the king standing by the pillar, according to the custom. And the captains and the trumpeters beside the king and all the people of the land rejoicing and blowing trumpets. Now, if this was what you saw, and you were the right, and you were the queen, what would your reaction be? That's an understatement. Furious. You'd be livid. Okay, and she is. Athaliah tore her clothes and cried, "Treason! Treason!" Okay, and Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains who were set over the army, "Bring her out between the ranks and put her to death with the sword, anyone who follows her." For the priest said, "Let her not be put to death in the house of the Lord." So they laid their hands on her, and she went through the horse's entrance to the king's house, and there she was put to death. Okay. What's fascinating here is that the queen should have been able to kill the coronation. She's the queen. Okay, she has the army. She should have said, "Okay, soldiers, arrest Jehoiada, kill him, kill the heir, do all this." She should have gotten rid of it. But what she realizes at that moment is how little power she has. Who do the soldiers listen to? The priest. Okay, they've recognized that the king, the seven-year-old boy, is the rightful heir. He is the king. We will listen to him, not to the queen. And so what happens to the queen? She gets taken out by force. And not through the right entrance. Which entrance do they take her through? The horse's entrance. Well, I won't. It wasn't the cleanest entrance. So let's put it this way. It's probably the right entrance for an evil queen to go through. Anyway, that's my take. But anyway, gets her through there, and then they kill her in the palace. Not in the temple. They don't want to kill a evil person in the temple, but in the palace. Okay? She meets her end. Not wanting, and it's not just the queen who loses her life that day. Okay? Look at this. In 17, Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and people that they should be the Lord's people, and also between the king and the people. Then all the people of the land went to the house of Baal and tore it down. His altars and images they broke in pieces. And they killed Mattan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And the priest posted a watchman over the house of the Lord. He took the captains, the Kerites, the guards, and all the people of the land. And they brought the king down from the house of the Lord, marching through the gate of the guards to the king's house. And he took his seat on the throne of the kings. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after Athaliah had been put to death with the sword at the king's house. Okay? After the queen is killed, Jehoiada leads the people in a renewal of the covenant. Okay? You are God's people. This is what he calls you to do. Okay? They are so energized by this, they go to Samaria, where there is a huge temple to Baal. And what do? They take all the idols and they smash them. They take all the images. They destroy them. They tear down the temple. Okay? They destroy it. And then they take the priest of Baal and they kill him as well. Okay? Now, imagine this. This is one day's worth of work. Okay? In one day, the rightful king was placed on the throne. The evil queen was killed. The covenant was renewed and the temple of the false god was destroyed. That's a good day. Okay? That is what Jehoiada helped make happen. Okay, he trained Jehoash. And it, within hours, within a day, okay, the people were renewed. Okay, they must have been sick of Athaliah's leadership. They must have been sick of Baal, I guess. But they turned to the Lord, and then they acted on that belief. God said, you will worship me only. They went and destroyed the temple. They killed the priest. Okay? This is the fruit of God's work from behind the scenes. Okay, for 6 years, Joash had been hidden. The queen didn't even know he was alive. Okay? To the people, evil was running rampant through the land. They didn't know the king was alive either. But Jehoiada works behind the scenes, and then when it is God's time, they bring him out, and all these amazing things happen, and the people turn to the Lord. Okay? I look at those years in the temple as years of preparation, because that's what God was doing for Jehoash, was preparing him to be king. And I think God has seasons of preparation in our lives too. Okay? Times when we may not think God is doing much. Okay? We're kind of feeling on a plateau. Okay? But we may not see what God is doing, but it very well could be that he's doing a deeper work in us that we don't even notice. Okay? And that he is preparing us for a time in which there's going to be an event or something that will happen that we will need all that he has prepared us for at that moment. And when that moment comes, we'll be prepared to act faithfully. Okay? So if there's a time in your life, if you're in one now where it's a plateau, things seem dry, it's just, you know, God doesn't seem to be working. Remember, God is always working. Always. We may not see it. It may be at a depth we can't understand. But I view it as seasons of preparation. And we shouldn't discard those times, because when the time comes for a crisis happens, we'll need everything God has prepared us for. Okay? And I see that here. So Jehoash begins to reign. The people bring him to his palace and to his throne. But one of the things I want us to notice here is that Jehoiada was the one who trained him, and apparently he stayed with him, because in 12:2, Jehoash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord because Jehoiada instructed him. That may very well be a call to mentorship, to find somebody older and wiser that can help us. And if we are older and wiser, take up somebody under you. Help them. Okay? Right now, I'm asking the Lord. I met a young man at camp who is an agronomist, but he loves the Lord, and he's like, do I go into ministry or not? I'm like, well, let me help you. He wants to learn how to preach. Okay? And I'm not the best preacher. You know that. But there are things I can do to help him. I'm like, okay, good Lord, is this something you want me to do? Look for somebody to mentor. Be that person. Or if you're younger, find somebody. Hang out with them. Okay? Be with them. That's what helped Jehoash. So I look at this story and I look at the books I read as a kid and I see very similar stories in some ways. And I wonder, did the authors get their ideas from this story? Because this is intrigue and treason and all sorts of good stuff. But Jehoash led for 32 years. And although he wasn't perfect, okay, God says he was faithful. And that's what we're called to be, is faithful. So I hope as you read this story and reflect on it, you can see God working in the midst of dark times, working through young people, working through risky priests. There's a lot in here. I hope it's encouraging to you and just something you haven't thought about for a while. So Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for this story. It is really a fascinating one. Such evil. And then, Lord, the saving of a child, the training him, the treasonous act of coronation, the revival of the people. It's an amazing story about you working in the midst of dark times to turn a nation who for four generations had gone further and further and further away from you. And Lord, for 32 years, at least, they came back. And that is a marvelous act of your grace. And so, Lord, we thank you for this story. Would you let us ruminate, meditate on it, and drive some of these things we've looked at deep into our hearts. We give you much thanks. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.